Public Radio KMXT is supported by a grant from North Pacific Fuel, serving and continuing the tradition of excellent service to the community at three locations: Marine Dock at 715 Shelikoff Street, Gas & Go at the Y, and Gas & Go at Mill Bay.
It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station, broadcasting from Kodiak, Alaska, where it's 57 degrees out at the airport, northeast wind to 5 miles per hour there. We are looking for rain to pick up after 4 p.m., increasing cloudiness with rain called for tonight too. High of about 58 today, low of about 51 overnight tonight. For tomorrow, a 40% chance of rain, mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a high near 58. North wind to 5, should become completely calm tomorrow afternoon. And for Wednesday, hold on to your hats, partly sunny skies, high near 61 on Wednesday. Coming up on the Midday Report, the Alaska Legislature is meeting in their third special session. Ballot measure to have the state recognize Alaska Native tribes. And the U.S. Secretary of Energy is visiting Alaska. Daniel Bross has a report.
Citizens from the Capitol, where the Taliban are back in control 20 years after they were toppled by Western forces. In Washington, President Biden was set to address the nation about the crisis. U.S. saying the safe evacuation of Americans and their Afghan allies a top priority. There's widespread fear of Taliban retribution, especially against the hard-won rights of women and girls in Afghanistan. President Biden has long defended the decision to withdraw U.S. forces and end America's longest war under a process that was put in motion during the Trump administration. The Palestinian Islamist group Hamas is praising the Taliban for their takeover in Afghanistan as troops evacuate. And Pierre Sani Lestrin reports from Jerusalem on Palestinian and Israeli reaction to the events in Afghanistan.
In a statement, Hamas congratulated the Taliban for its, quote, courageous leadership and defeat of the American occupation on all the Afghan lands. Hamas said it hoped, quote, resistance would bring freedom to Palestinians. There are some parallels between Afghanistan now and the Gaza Strip in 2007. After Israel pulled its troops and settlers out of Gaza, it led to a Palestinian power struggle, and Hamas militants wrested control of Gaza, driving out the Western-backed Palestinian Authority. Hamas is still in control of Gaza today. Some Israeli commentators argue the Taliban takeover could embolden militant groups around the Mideast. They argue the West Bank would face a similar fate if Israel ceded control there. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Jerusalem.
The Justice Department is urging Congress to update the Voting Rights Act. NPR's Kerry Johnson reports the move follows Supreme Court rulings that limited the federal government's power.
Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark says the Justice Department's ability to protect the right to vote has been eroded.
I am here today to sound an alarm.
Clark is asking Congress to restore the heart of the landmark 1965 Voting Rights Act, including a measure that allowed the federal government to pre-approve election changes in places with a history of discrimination. Until then, DOJ is bringing individual cases in places like Georgia, which can take years to move through the courts. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats will consider voting legislation next week, but Republicans are casting the bills as unnecessary power grabs that would take power away from the states. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
Emergency response is underway in Haiti, where an earthquake disaster could be compounded by an approaching tropical system. Dr. Inobe Pierre telling ABC that hospitals are severely damaged and there is acute shortage of supplies. This is NPR.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
The Alaska legislature is meeting in Juneau today for the third special session of the year. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposals to amend the state constitution are on the agenda. One amendment would lower the limit on how much the state government can spend in 1 year. The other amendment would enshrine the permanent fund dividend in the constitution. It would also set an annual draw from the permanent fund to pay for the PFDs and for government. And it would add the program that lowers the cost of electricity in high-cost areas to the constitution. The agenda also includes the possibility of bills to raise revenue, like taxes. But the agenda doesn't include funding for this year's PFD, or for university scholarships, medical education, and some funding for spill prevention and response. A ballot measure initiative seeks to have the state of Alaska officially recognize and acknowledge the 229 federally recognized Alaska Native tribes. KNBA's Trip Krause has more.
The initiative models itself on a piece of state legislation which passed the Alaska House by a 35-4 vote earlier this year. But fighting over the state budget has gnarled future progress of the measure. The initiative would create a government-to-government relationship with the state, much in the way that the 229 tribes have with the federal government. According to a news release from the organizing group, the Alaska Lieutenant Governor has 60 days to review and certify the initiative. Then, more than 36,000 signatures are required before the start of 2022 to be placed on the ballot for that year. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.
The U.S. Secretary of Energy is visiting Alaska. Jennifer Granholm and Alaska U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski are in Fairbanks. Yesterday, they toured the Cold Climate Housing Research Center, Army Corps of Engineers permafrost tunnel, and the Chena Hot Springs Geothermal Energy Facility.
Senator Murkowski has said this repeatedly, that Alaska is like a living lab, and so much of what you all are trying to solve for with respect to climate and the change and how to make sure people are warm in the winter, or, you know, maybe not so much cooling in the summer, but a bit, but certainly cooling the permafrost. I mean, those kinds of solutions are what the lower 48 could learn from.
Noting the state's diverse clean energy potential, Granholm says Alaska can help the nation transition toward a new energy economy.
Solar does work in Alaska, I know, and wind, offshore wind, tidal power, geothermal. I mean, you have the whole array of solutions, and so I'm excited to be here to be able to ingest that, learn about it, and to be able to take that information back to the Department of Energy and explore what further we can do to learn from your experience and to deploy the kinds of solutions that you're working on here.
Granholm also pointed to new technologies to reduce greenhouse gases.
Whether it's carbon capture, use and sequestration, or looking at other kinds of technologies through demonstration projects on clean hydrogen, blue hydrogen, etc. So yes, there are solutions that will allow us to do this transition, to manage carbon, remove carbon.
Secretary Granholm and Senator Murkowski are scheduled to tour the University of Alaska Fairbanks Synergy Center for Energy and Power this morning before moving on to Anchorage and stops at the National Hydropower Association Conference, the UAA Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program, and at Kincaid Park to discuss Fire Island wind energy development. Camp Aitkayuk is an annual camp that teaches kids in the Aleutian community of Unalaska about Anunga values, language, and art. While the program was canceled last year due to the coronavirus pandemic, this summer kids returned to the Unalaska Community Center to continue local traditions. KUCB's Maggie Nelson has this report.
Let's pray your dog if you have one. If they swallow a worm, you can do this. But it's okay for birds to eat worms and chickens.
Fletcher Bagley is headed into second grade this year. He holds a small glass vial in the air filled with a dark green liquid and explains that it holds wormwood oil. He grabs another small jar with an illegible but colorful label and excitedly says that it's going to be the coolest one.
Yeah, we're going to turn it into Angelica sap, and I think that we get to eat it.
Bagley's right about almost everything he says. He does fill the small jar with a salve made from the local plant Angelica. And wormwood is an herbal remedy for dogs with worms. But he doesn't eat any of those items. Learning which plants are edible and which aren't is part of the curriculum for Bagley and about 15 kids in first through third grade that attended on Alaska's Camp of Gayuch, or Camp A, late last month. It's a culture camp put on through the island's Parks Department, the Kowalungan Tribe of Unalaska, and a group of volunteers. The students learn how to harvest local plants and use them as medicine for things like burns from pushki, known in other parts of Alaska as cow parsnip, or as soothing lip balms. They also make paper versions of Unangach bentwood hats and learn about the values and language of the local Unangach who have lived on the island for thousands of years. Sharon Savarni Livingston helped start the class about 10 years ago with longtime Unalaska resident Harriet Barakoff. The camp culminates in a play at the end of the week. This year, Savarni Livingston says, they're acting out a story about the moon's sister, who descends to the villages on Earth and has a son.
Time comes, and so she takes them on a journey finally, and she takes them through the constellations just as they are today. They had a different name for them, of course. And eventually they get to the moon's house, and she dies on the trip because she got very old. And of course the moon was getting old too, and so his nephew took his place. So that's
the story. The moon's sister lied to me, Lupinroot, she grew up.
Savarni Livingston says this year was also unique because she had the help of local teen Riley Lakanoff, who attended the camp when she was in elementary school.
And this year she stepped up quite a bit because I needed an Unangan helper who wasn't just, you know, a volunteer. I needed her to be able to, you know, take on certain aspects of the project and run with them. She's doing the value.
This year, Lakanoff led the Unangam to new language and Unangach values sections.
Ugegvada, that one means share. Tutaba is listen. Chadalagachtin is don't steal. And chin uutada is be happy. I don't
have a Savarni Livingston says she's excited to see Lakanoff returning to the camp as a mentor.
That's the whole purpose, you know, of trying to preserve culture and save culture is making sure that you always pass on your knowledge to somebody else so they can continue to pass it on.
For the young ones, Savarni Livingston says part of that preservation work involves breaking down some of the larger and more challenging concepts, values, or practices. Even, she says, in the artwork.
They're looking at the design posters and they're going, oh, we can't do that stuff. And I go, they're just, you know, you just got to break them down to little pieces. You break it down, it's, you know, it's a line, it's a circle, it's a dot, you know, and it's repetitive. It just goes on and on.
Circle, line, dot. Circle, line, dot.
In Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
Both the Anchorage Assembly and their new mayor say that building up the city's shelter capacity is a priority over the next year. They say for houseless residents, shelter's a safe option, and it's the easiest way to connect them to services like job training and mental health care. But there are hundreds of houseless residents who say they'd rather camp outdoors, even if it means sacrificing safety and convenience. Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan brings us a portrait of what life is like for a few of them.
In a grove of birch and cottonwood trees between Anchorage's Mountain View neighborhood and the Glen Highway, camp resident Caesar Carberry is working hard outside of his tent.
My mom would be pretty proud of me if she saw this.
Carberry's calloused fingers rub down the bottom of a skateboard deck with a hand sander. He says it'll take him about an hour to get the old paint off before he draws and paints an original design on the bottom. He'll screw in the trucks and wheels and sell it for $40. His business even has a name.
A1 Never Bored. You're never bored if, you know, you're on a skateboard. You always got something to do. And it kept me out of a lot of trouble.
Scattered around his spacious tent are buckets filled with spare skateboard parts, tools, and a full-size ceramic statue of a panther. There's no trash other than some scrap metal, and his two dozen skateboards are lined up neatly on a tarp-covered awning outside of his tent. But this isn't how he wants his 8-year-old son to look at him.
Because he'll ask me, like, you know, you going back to the tent? And I'm like, oh, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. I want, hey, you're going back to your shop? Or you're going back to your house?
Working on this business isn't something Carberry could do if he were in a shelter where personal belongings are limited to the size of a plastic tote. Other campers say issues like PTSD or claustrophobia keep them out of shelters. They say the camaraderie they've developed in the camp community is more valuable than the security of a 24-hour shelter. That reality is a problem for Anchorage policymakers who want people in shelters where they have easier access to services like mental health care and housing support. In a nearby tent, 28-year-old Devin Felton pulls out a camp chair and sits down for an interview. The Vancouver, Washington native is pencil thin and his jeans sag below his waist.
I moved down here because of some family struggles, and I've moved away from here 3-4 times, and something about Alaska just keeps bringing me back. I love music and dancing and cooking.
He competes in rap battles and melts down metal he finds in dumpsters to make jewelry, but his talents don't pay much. He's looking for more consistent work as a landscaper, but he hasn't had much luck lately.
It's kind of a stigma when you tell someone that's hiring that you're homeless. I don't know how to describe it. They look at you different.
Felton loves the community he's found at camp. They look out for one another. But he's in the process of moving. About a week ago, the city came to the lot, which the city uses as a snow dump in the winter, and posted white paper signs on the trees. The signs gave the legally required notice to dozens of campers there that they'd have to pack up within 10 days.
Since we got the eviction, I've been trying to get box after box out of here. It's not that easy. We got to take pretty much one thing at a time if we don't have a wagon or a cart or something.
The abatement process costs the city hundreds of thousands of dollars each year, and it forces campers to spend hours packing up and moving their belongings, usually to new campsites, every few years or months. The campers here say despite the hardships, it's still better than shelter. Camper Elshaniqua Durfee.
Just because I'm an adult, I don't think I should have an 11 o'clock curfew to be inside of a building because this person is drunk or this person has mental health issues. I'm supposed to just kind of be quiet and let them react or behave however they'd like to. So I'm not really good with getting along with people.
She says at the Mountain View snow dump, she can hide away in her tent if she starts to feel overwhelmed by the crowds. And she says, pointing to the leaves fluttering above her tent, it's a beautiful way of living.
When the fall hits, all these trees change all different colors, and it's just quiet enough to where at night, that highway sounds like an ocean.
She hopes to enjoy it for a few more days before moving on to a new campsite. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Lex Trinan.
A Fairbanks man has been convicted of stalking and trying to arrange the killing of his ex-girlfriend. According to a release from the U.S. Attorney's Office, 55-year-old Roger Keeling devised the plan to have the woman murdered while he was in custody on stalking charges. It says in October 2020, Keeling pled guilty to assaulting the woman, who was granted a domestic violence protective order, and over the next 6 weeks was arrested repeatedly for violating the order, including slashing her tires and threatening her. Keeling was arrested for stalking last December 2020, and while in jail custody, agreed to pay his cellmate to arrange for a hitman to kill the woman. Keeling faces up to 5 years in prison for stalking and up to 10 years on the murder for hire conviction. A confrontation between the Fairbanks police and a man with a gun was resolved peacefully yesterday. According to a city release, the police went to the area of 15th Avenue and Cushman Street after receiving a report about a man who had pointed a gun in the direction of traffic. It says the 19-year-old, who had a 22-year-old rifle with a sawed-off stock, rode a bicycle away from responding officers, leading them to Lathrop High School, where police say he told officers to shoot him or he would shoot himself. They said the man raised the gun in the direction of officers and appeared to rack the bolt before dropping the weapon and stepping away. The man was taken to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital for mental health care.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lenny Welch. What's the fishing life like for the wives left behind? Their best and least favorites after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, high-quality video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
A professional fisherman's life involves a lot of coming and going. Fish Radio asked Kodiak's wives about their likes and dislikes of being married to a fisherman.
You know, it's always nice when they leave and it's always nice when they come home, so I think it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Enjoy that he's out providing for our family and he's having fun and he loves what he does.
One of the best things is you always have fresh seafood that never gets old.
He's an outdoorsman, I think a hard worker, and I always wanted a hard worker, and I got one.
I've been a fisherman's wife for probably 35 years. I mean, had I had a husband that was home from 8 to 5, I would have never been able to become as independent as I am. Just be able to develop my own person. That was, I think, my favorite part of being married to a fisherman, being able to have that time.
You know what's going on in the industry, and so you know what's going on around town with different fisheries. So there's usually an endless supply of interesting stories you get to hear.
There are some downsides to being a fisherman's wife.
Kind of both the same. I like my alone time when he's gone, and I also get lonely when he's gone. So kind of, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Time away is always hard.
It's hard being a single parent all the time, and you never know when they're coming home. And when they come home, they still have boat work, kind of just sharing them all the time with the boat.
It's always hard to adjust to them being gone and then getting back, because as soon as you get adjusted to them being gone, then they get back. And then you have to adjust to them being back, and then they leave again, and then you have to adjust again. So it's a constant adjustment.
But the most difficult thing was having to make those critical decisions and also just the physical part of raising a family all by yourself, just the basic everyday things. I'd have to say that was the hardest part, raising a family.
Catch fishing links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods, who salutes and says thanks to the men and women fishing across Alaska for their hard work and dedication. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 35. This announcement was issued August 16th at 10 a.m. There will be a 30-hour commercial salmon fishing period in the Duck Bay section of the Afognak District from noon Tuesday, August 17th, until 6 p.m. Wednesday, August 18th. There will be a 78-hour commercial salmon fishing period in the Northeast Kodiak District from noon Tuesday, August 17th, until 6 p.m. Friday, August 20th. There will be a 69-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Tuesday, August 17th, until 6 p.m. Friday, August 20th, in the following areas: the Northwest Kodiak District, the Southwest Afognak section of the Afognak District, the Outer Iakulik section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Cape Alitak, Humpy Deadman, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District, and the Sitka-Leedic, Two-Headed, and Seven Rivers sections of the Eastside Kodiak District. As previously announced, closed waters are reduced until further notice at Humpy Cove to the stream terminus of Humpy Creek, stream number 257701, and stream number 257703. The Spirit and Bay Special Harvest Area, Telrad Cove, remains open to commercial salmon fishing until further notice. Closed waters are shown on the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. Statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. Recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559.
And here is your Island Messenger for Monday. It is the 16th day of August, the year 2021. The sun rose at 6:38 this morning. Won't set again until 9:49. That will give us 15 hours and 12 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 42 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 86
set in 2019, and our record low is 39, set in 1981. Currently 57 degrees. They're now saying we're not going to see any rain until after 5 p.m. sometime today, but increasing clouds today with a high near 58, southeast wind to 5. For tonight, little rain, low around 51, southeast winds to 15, becoming light and variable, but could gust as high as 20. And for tomorrow, 40% chance of rain, mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, high near 58. For Wednesday, partly sunny skies, high near 61. We have a low tide coming up here on the east side at 2:14 this afternoon. That'll be a 2.8 foot tide, followed by a high tide at 8:53 p.m. of 8.6 feet. And our next low tide will be at 4:12 a.m. and be 0.7 feet, followed by a high tide at 10:47 a.m. of 5.5 feet. Over on the west side, and this is Euganic Bay, you will be having a low tide at 3:10 this afternoon of 4.5 feet, followed by a high tide at 9:17 p.m. of 13.6 feet. Your next low tide will be at 4:29 a.m. of 1.6 feet, and your high tide for tomorrow in the morning on the west side will be at 11:04 a.m. and be 10.9 feet. Mariners, we do have a gale warning tonight for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Southwest wind to 20 knots now and seas to 6 feet. For tonight, look for south wind to 35 knots. Will become southwest 25 knots after midnight. Seas to 11 feet tonight. For Tuesday on our east side, west 20, seas to 9 feet. Tuesday night, southwest 20, seas coming down to 8 feet. And for Wednesday, southwest 15, seas to 7 feet. Thursday through Friday, on our east side, southwest 20, seas to 6 feet. Over on the west side in the Shelikof Strait, southwest 20 right now, and seas to 6 feet. For tonight, east 20, seas to 5 feet, subsiding to 3 feet after midnight tonight in the Shelikof. For tomorrow, northeast 15, seas to 3 feet. Tuesday night, southwest 15, seas to 3 feet. And Wednesday through Friday, west 20, seas to 4 feet in the Shelikof. For inside waters, Chiniak Bay, variable winds less than 10 knots right now, becoming south 15 this afternoon, seas to 3 feet. For tonight, southeast 20, becoming southwest 10 after midnight, seas to 4 feet, should subside to 2 feet after midnight in Chiniak Bay. And for tomorrow, variable less than 10, seas to 3 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, west 10 becoming southeast this afternoon, seas to 3 feet. For tonight, southeast 20 becoming northwest 10 after midnight, seas to 6 feet, should come down to 3 feet after midnight in Marmot Bay. For tomorrow, variable less than 10, seas to 3 feet. Due to lack of staffing, the Kodiak Island Borough landfill will be temporarily closed for public access until further notice. Commercial contractors will be allowed by appointment only. Please call 486-9343 to make an appointment. And the Kodiak Island Borough thanks the public for their patience and understanding during this time. Nominating petitions for 1 2-year city mayor seat and 2 3-year city council seats are available in the city clerk's office. For additional information, call the city clerk at 486-8636. Want to be a member of KMXT or KODK? The team needs you. Board elections are coming up and we have some spaces open, waiting for someone just like you. To find out more, give us a call at 486-3181. The City of Kodiak and the Kodiak Island Borough Cooperative Relations Committee will be having a meeting next Wednesday, August 18th. That's happening at 4 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library Multipurpose Room. This meeting is open to the public. Agendas and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. And to request paper copies or for more information, call the city clerk at 486-8636. Although the Kodiak National Wildlife Visitor Center remains closed, they are still offering something to the public. so that every Wednesday through September, they're holding an outdoor-only program in Sargent Park. It's right across from the Kodiak National Wildlife Visitor Center. It happens between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. every Wednesday. It's Salmon Camp Day. Every week, you can stop by for this outdoor, interactive, and self-led programming all about Kodiak, Alaska's natural world. This event is open to all ages. For more information, call them at 487-0283. But again, that's 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Wednesday at Sargent Park. The Kodiak Rodeo and State Fair is back for 2021. Get your vegetables, photography, livestock, and whatever ready for judging. Fair entry dates are September 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. and September 3rd from 11 to 6 p.m. You want to visit KodiakRodeoStateFair.com. That's all one word, KodiakRodeoStateFair.com, for the full premium book. Questions? Call 942-3979. And this Friday, August 20th, the Alzheimer's Research of Alaska will be having another with their webinars. This one is entitled End of Life Decisions. It's happening between 1 and 2:30 p.m. Friday, August 20th. To register for the event, you need to go to allsalaska.org. That's ALZAlaska.org. And it's still summer, so Canna, Alaska Sea Grant, and the Shunack Tribe of Kodiak are strongly advising against eating personally harvested shellfish in the Kodiak region. They're currently seeing elevated levels of toxins.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT two times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
And we did just get the new update from the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center about the COVID-19 case information for the Kodiak Island Borough. 23 new cases have been reported for the Kodiak Island Borough as of today. That means 109 cases are currently classified as active locally. There is one active case currently hospitalized in Kodiak, and local health care providers remain busy with COVID-19 positive patients seeking care. But now again, 23 new cases reported today, 109 cases currently classified as active locally. And you can get the full rundown on this evening on the evening news and at the kmxt.org website.